that was going to happen. See, we humans sometimes cannot measure things over several generations because the scientists that measure it died. It took human beings nearly about 4 decades to realize and finally confirm, finally accept, both legally, scientifically, without doubt, without any dispute, that cigarette smoking does produce cancer. Right? They may be smoking for 100 years. When they found those truths, they keep disputing. Until today, it's without dispute. It took mankind many generations, and many generations died before they finally established it. It's a lot. So, this is just a physical example of how man do something and then over generation discover it was an error. Same thing with asbestos. Remember when it was first discovered, wow, this is fireproof. Put everything, use asbestos. Why? Because it's fireproof. After many generations, they discover asbestos caused lung cancer. Retract! Too late. People have died. Now, if it was God, God would have told you, oh, this is going to cause cancer. Yes, it's fireproof, but it will also kill you early. Protect you from fire, but kill you of something else. So we realize God knew by looking at those things. Something within the heart. So to bring this truth across, I have a few examples here. Right, sometimes it's hard to illustrate some spiritual truth. I have an apple, right? Half an apple, that is. This is not the original from the Garden of Eden, by the way. Yeah. So I have an apple here. You could cut this apple and count how many seeds inside. If I were to ask you the question, tell me how many seeds are in this apple, you would cut it up and count it. And you could count. But if I were to ask you, how many apples can the seed produce? You and I wouldn't know. But God would know. Because the Bible says that He knows that every hair on our head is numbered. Even we don't know how many hair, and since you can't count how much hair we have. So if it is hair number 2,675, drop when you're combing, God knew. He didn't just know the number of your hair. It says, you read carefully, you know, every hair is numbered. So in each hand, there's number 3,675. So God knows. God knows how long and how many apples is going to come out of each seed here. You and I don't know. We can only count the seed. But here's the fact. The seed in this apple is like the inclination. When God looks at it, He says, okay, this is going to come forth. Because He knows the condition and the ground. One more illustration. This is my little portable chess set. So you know this is going to come out some point. And let me turn it on. New game. Ta-da. Hey, where are my batteries? Okay, here you go. Okay. Now, you play chess, right? A little bit. Checkers, I know. Maybe you play a little bit. You know the moves? Just a little bit. Okay, since it's in the center aisle here. Sorry, folks, those of you who love chess at the back, I know Stephen loves it. And now, let you play white against a computer and press it. You take whichever move you want to move, press it. Press it down. And then move it to the square. Press it harder, enter the signal, the sound. Okay, now move forward. Okay, here's move D4. And the computer tells you what to move. It's playing against you. So, where the joint meets, you press it down. And then he wants you to move here. Oh, so he's giving you a gambit. Okay. Oh, wrong one. Here. He's moved here. Okay. Now, can you just... we don't allow this normally, but just for the sake of illustration, just make a few more moves. Right. And let the computer play against you. Yeah. Yeah. And now, here's a little computer here. And this little computer, the strength of this computer is about... I set it to about 1600, which is pretty good. At 1600, it beats about 95% of most players. You don't believe me, right? Anyone who can beat this computer today, I'll give you $20. Not now, but after lunch, right? Okay, so you can keep playing that. Now, okay, by watching Grant play that little computer right now, okay, I'm a chess player, and I look at it, he has already made about a few bad moves, right? Okay. He has moved d4 and f4, and he leaves his e3 very weak. He is going to lose his center. If he keeps playing that way, he is going to lose. How do I know he's going to lose? By the first few moves. Because it sets your position in the center, it sets your position for the side. Right? Pretty clever computer, isn't it? Right. Okay, thank you very much. Now, some of you say, how can the computer know how to move? Right? It's been programmed with about, for that one, it's about 10,000 games. But programming a computer with games is not enough. You also have to program it with rules. So you first give the computer lots of data, 10,000 games. Then you program it with rules. And then you program it with strategies. So that the computer doesn't think in terms of which move is legal, which is not. But it think that computer is programmed to control the center, exchange the best pieces, and go for your king. Okay? Some of these little things have been done with the help of Kasparov. So they sat down with Kasparov and say, what are the techniques and strategies you use? And they put it in. So, how do we tell something is going to happen? Now, as you play this little chess game here, by those moves, I know straight away he's going to lose the center. In fact, it has already conquered part of the center. Right? And I would know roughly how the game goes. Not because I have made arrangements where a person doesn't have choice. He still has free choice. Free choice is still there. But by looking at the inclination, the way the move pieces are moved, by the setting, you will know what kind of future you have. So God is powerful. He looks at the inclination and He knows the results. Because He's much, 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 much more powerful than us. If that is so, here's the key. If we can somehow get into the part of us that sets us correctly, then if it is possible for God to look at into the inclination and know their future that is evil, that they're going to do, isn't it possible for God to see something good in them and then say something wonderful is going to happen? Can you see it works both ways? Think about people like David. Right? There are some parts of him that are not good. But remember what it says? He seek a man after his own heart. David has weaknesses for sure. But God knows that there's something in him. No matter how far he fall, no matter where he go, no matter how many mistakes he make, no matter how many errors he make. Now he makes some big blunders, right? He committed adultery with Bathsheba. He made a blunder about how to move the ark. He numbered the Israelites. He made a few blunders. And I think during his early days, he made a mistake going to the Philistines. And he has to play the madman to escape. So he made lots of mistakes. And there are many other mistakes that are not recorded. Yet, he succeeded. Why? Because something in his heart was set correctly. And here's an encouragement to you. Don't worry. Yes. That. God will know it. Yeah. We can discuss that after that. Right. Thank you. Yes. So, that's right. And so, David, God saw something in David's heart. Now, you talk about revelation, God would have revealed himself to David. Now, remember this, it did not happen overnight. Do you know when David's heart was set? When he was taking care of sheep. When did he compose his song, "The Lord is my shepherd"? I'm sure he had it way earlier. It became the top 10 in Israel only when he became king. But he must have been singing that song for a long time. Because he was singing when he was a shepherd. And he understand what being a shepherd was. And during those times when he was all alone in the nice meadows, he would be singing, praising God and worshipping. All those things that he did was setting his heart. Something was tuning it. So if I could put these words, it takes time to tune whatever is within us. It takes prayer, spending time with God, worship, all those things. All those little things you do are tuning. But here's the encouragement. It is possible that it's tuned in such a way that sometimes your heart is sad. Now, in the book of Psalms, you'll find these words that we don't have time to turn to. It says, "My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. It's fixed on you." So there's some things that... And if in your life you have made many mistakes, make many blunders, if your life is not perfect and you know your own weaknesses, doesn't matter. Set your heart and inclination. Allow God's Spirit to set it. And when it is there, no matter what comes, something good is going to be produced. Let's read Hebrews 4 as we close, and we'll touch more in this series as we go along. In Hebrews chapter 4, the key is not just the spoken word. Hebrews 4 verse 12. "For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit." Now you know why soul and spirit is divided, so that it can be tuned. And this word is the word logos, not the word rhema. So logos is more a gradual process. Rhema is just a spoken word. The logos of God is energizing. That's a Greek word. And full of dunamis. And sharper than any two-edged sword. Like a laser beam. Piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. And of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now the word discerner also carries the meaning of the word tuning in its root form. It tunes the heart. Now you begin to see God's wisdom in the Old Testament. When they were not possible, it was not possible for them to be born again. Do you remember what God told them in Deuteronomy chapter 6? God says, "Put the words in your heart and in your mind. Speak them when you walk by the way, when you lie them, when you sleep. Put them on the walls. Put them as frontlets before you." You know what God is trying to do? He's tuning the inclination, the yetzer. So you need an abundance of the word. To summarize, we need an abundance of the word. Fill your life. Constantly you confront the word. Constantly you're surrounded with the word in music, the word in verbal form, reading the word and playing it in the background all the time. And that helps. And you're allowing the logos to come alive. It must not be just a written word. It must be alive, living and full of dynamis. Then it begins to do an effect on our inside that will cause our inclination to be turned and tuned